Greetings to you all this morning. Little book of Jude, right toward the end of your Old Testament, is a book that Jude says at the beginning he intended to write about something else. He had planned to write about our common salvation, and I would love to know what Jude would have said about the marvelous salvation that we enjoy in Christ. But Jude changed his mind. He explains in verses 3 and 4 that there were some folks who had crept in whom Jude said were turning the grace of God into licentiousness. These folks, because they didn't understand God's grace, were making a mess of things and causing problems for lots of people. And so Jude said we need to address that. If Jude changed his theme to address these false teachers who did not understand grace. In verse 11 of the book, Jude says of these false teachers, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain." What is that? They've gone the way of Cain. What exactly did Jude mean by that? And what is the way of Cain? And what is he cautioning us about in that expression? That's our study for this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about the way of Cain. So you're going to need to turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 4, where we have the account of Cain. And this is almost everything we know about Cain. It's recorded in this text. And as we look at the way of Cain in this text, since Jude said that the problem these teachers had was a misunderstanding of the grace of God, I want us to, as we go through this text and look at the way of Cain, also keep an eye out for the grace of God and make sure that we understand that as it's revealed in this story. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Referring to Adam, it says the man had relations with his wife Eve. She conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." Again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portion. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. I'll pause there for a moment to say that I'm already seeing something in the way of Cain. The way of Cain, at the very beginning point, is a way of ignoring divine instruction. The author of Hebrews, in referring to these brothers and their sacrifices, said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, "By faith, Abel brought a better offering to the Lord." Faith comes from listening to God. And so God gave instructions to these brothers regarding their worship, regarding their sacrifice, and in some way, Cain evidently didn't pay attention to what God was saying. I'm not sure exactly what the specific of that is. Some have assumed in reading this text, since Abel brought an offering of an animal, Cain brought a grain offering, that God specified he wanted an animal sacrifice, and Cain tried to substitute something else. That may be exactly how it happened. I don't know. I do know that later on, when the law of Moses was given, God required not only animal sacrifices, but there were grain offerings as well under the law. So I don't know whether that was exactly the problem here or not. I notice in the text that there's some differentiation made. It says in verse 3 that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. But it stresses in verse 4 that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. It could be that God told these brothers the same thing that He's told people throughout time, And that is that God always gets the first and the best. And Abel took God at His word and brought the firstlings of his flock, and Cain perhaps just got something that he thought would do. But it wasn't necessarily the first or the best. Or, the text also says that the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering He had no regard. It's not just the sacrifices that God was looking at, it was the people as well. And it's a possibility there was something about Cain's attitude. It just wasn't what it should have been. Or perhaps there were some other things going on in Cain's life that were not as they should have been, and so God was not welcoming of this sacrifice. The wise man observed in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 8, that the sacrifice of a wicked man is an abomination to the Lord. So I'm not sure exactly what the problem was here. But whatever it was, it is clear that Cain was not paying careful attention to the instructions that God gave. And you know, when God gives us instructions, that's a matter of His grace. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Paul said, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us." The grace of God instructing us. God has so graciously given us His Word that we might know Him, that we might know His will, that we might know how to live so to get the best out of life. That's a part of God's grace. And it was a part of God's grace that He gave these brothers instruction as to how to worship. Abel acted on that. Cain did not. And so the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, He had no regard. And so the text continues in verse 5 that Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. He was so mad you could see it on his face, is what that says. You know, Cain probably should have been upset. But he should have been angry with himself for having ignored the gracious instruction of God. As the story plays out, however, it seems that he's not so much angry with himself as he's angry with God. And he's angry with his brother. Cain became angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, but you must master it." The Lord looked down and saw this angry condition in Cain's heart. And once again, the grace of God acts. God graciously gave Cain a warning, a caution. You'd better be really careful. You're full of anger. You've sinned. Now you're at a crossroads. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with this problem of sin in your life. If you deal with it the right way, and of course the right way will be to have God forgive it, then your countenance can be lifted up. You can feel better about yourself. You will be forgiven and life will be much better. But the Lord cautioned him that sin was like a predator sitting at the door waiting to consume him, waiting to take him over. If Cain doesn't deal with this in the right way, if he's not real careful, he may just be consumed with sin. It may make him even more bitter, more angry. And he'll have even a worse life going forward. Cain needed to pay attention to the Lord's warning. But as the story unfolds, He didn't do that either. He ignored God's gracious caution. Before we look at the rest of the story, I want to pause and say that all of us need this lesson right here. We all need to listen very carefully when the Lord starts cautioning us. Because the same thing that was true of Cain is true of us. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with sin. And we don't like it when someone comes and says, "You're wrong. You've done wrong. You're guilty." We don't want to feel that way. If we're not careful, we may get defensive. We may go on the attack instead of being introspective and saying, "You know, I didn't do that very well. I am guilty. I need to change. I need to improve." The Lord reminds us that if we'll deal with this the right way, our countenance can be lifted up. We can feel better. But if we don't, sin may just get a hold of us. And that's kind of the nature of it, you know. Some of it is addictive. It gets a hold of us in that way. And sometimes it's just progressive. One thing kind of leads to the next, to the next. It has a hardening effect on us. And a lot of times we get under, our lives are just a mess and we can't even realize that it's our own doing that's got us in this mess. God is graciously cautioning Cain about his next move. Verse 8. Cain told his brother, "And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." You've studied this story before, I know. And you know that the way of Cain is the way of murder. But doesn't that just prove that God was right when He said you'd better be careful? Because what happened is that Cain's anger, coupled with envy, resulted in murder. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, John refers back to this event. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. He says, "This is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother." And for what reason did he slay him? "Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous." When Cain looked at his brother, he saw a living testimony, an ongoing testimony of somebody who's living better than he was. He didn't like that. He felt condemned by that. And so he just decided to get rid of that problem. It was an expression of selfishness, of self-centeredness, that I want to feel better about myself, so I'll just get rid of this one that's challenging me, as it were. And that same self-centered disposition that Cain had is seen in the verses that follow. The Lord, in some way, communicated to Cain, verse 9, "Where's Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Once again, God communicates to Cain a question that's intended to make him think, to assess where he is and the direction that he's going in. He says, "Where's your brother?" "I don't know." Isn't it evident that Cain has no remorse whatsoever at this point? And when God questions him, he just kind of impudently hurls a question back at God. "Am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to be looking out for him? Am I responsible for someone else?" Yes. The Bible answers that question over and over and over again. We are our brother's keepers. We are to be interested in our brothers and their welfare. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. God told the people of Israel, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus cited that as the second greatest commandment, right behind, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Love your neighbor as yourself. You're your brother's keeper. You are to treat your brother with the kind of love and regard that you would have for yourself. The concern and the care. I'm my brother's keeper in the sense of I need to be careful not to do anything myself that might lead to his spiritual demise. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, Jesus observed in verse 7, "Woe to the world because of its stumbling block. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes." It's inevitable that people are going to stumble, that they're going to make mistakes, that they're going to fall. That doesn't excuse me if I've contributed to it on somebody else's behalf. So I need to watch my attitude. I need to watch my example. I need to watch my dress. I need to watch my speech. I need to make sure that I'm my brother's keeper. That I'm living in such a way as to not contribute to his downfall. I'm my brother's keeper in the sense of that when the brother has fallen, it's my obligation to help him. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Paul said that when a brother is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. And he said, do it in a gentleness, a gentle way, with a spirit of gentleness. So God has said over and over again, we do need to have a regard for one another. And Cain doesn't show that. So going back to the text, as they have this conversation, where is your brother? I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. The Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. From now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment's too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from the face I will be hidden, from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. You see the defiance toward God that Cain had? Cain says, God, it's your fault that I'm in this mess. You've given me this punishment, and now somebody's going to try to kill me. There's an irony in that. If someone would have done the thing that Cain feared might happen, it really would have been justice, wouldn't it? Cain's punishment at this point is really something short of justice. And once again, God's grace is coming into play here. God, by justice, could well have taken his life for having murdered his brother. But God being merciful and giving him further opportunity to change. Grace. And all Cain can do is blame God for the mess that he's in. And complain that these circumstances are just going to be too difficult for him to deal with. And so any failure on his part, in Cain's mind, is a failure of God somehow toward him. Cain's a victim. And verse 15 is remarkable. You would expect by this point God is about ready to zap him. But he doesn't. The Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. Even with all of this arrogance on his part and this confrontational attitude toward God, God still is merciful, still is gracious, and gives Cain actually some sort of protection going forward against those who might harm. And that's usually when we stop, when we're telling the story of Cain. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. But the rest of the chapter is about Cain's family. And I would suggest to you that is also a part of the story of Cain, because what it does is it says that the way of Cain is a way of corrupting influence. When you follow that story in Genesis 4, and we'll not take time to read the rest of the chapter, but when you follow the lineage of Cain, you will discover something about Cain's descendants. Cain's descendants were the leaders in worldly advances. They led in business. They led in the arts. They led in technology. Unfortunately, they led in something else, too. They led in sin. And when you get to the seventh generation, remember in Hebrews society, the seventh was kind of the symbol of perfection or completion. When you come to the seventh generation from Cain, you come to this character Lamech, who in verse 23 has two wives, and he says to his wives, listen, give heed to my speech. I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. About as bombastic as you can get. Here's a man that is steeped in sin and proud of it. What Cain's the sin? And this line continues on to bring about the conditions you read about in the opening verses of Genesis chapter 6, where the world was just completely corrupt and God decided it was time for judgment. And He brought the flood. The point I want to make with reference to Cain is the way of Cain was a corrupting influence, because those who were his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren going forward, they didn't get better with time, they got worse by his example. And in the seventh generation, here's Lamech citing Cain and saying, I'm even greater than he. In the same kind of thing. And ultimately, of course, the way of Cain was the way of punishment. Well, not only on him, but his family and the generations to come. Now, take that description that is given in this text and think back to the book of Jude and plug it in. Jude says, we're troubled because we've got teachers who come in who don't understand the grace of God. They think it's just license to do what we will. They think it excuses sin. What are those teachers really doing? Well, they're ignoring the divine instructions about how we ought to live. They're ignoring the divine warnings about the consequences of these kinds of behavior. They're saying somehow, oh, God won't really do that. Theirs is the way of murder. They're not necessarily killing people physically, but they're murderous in terms of the spiritual effect that they're having on others. It's a self-centered way because their way of life enables them to live how they want. The next thing that Jude says in verse 11 is that they're going the way of Balaam, and that may suggest that it was profitable financially for them to teach these kinds of things because that's what people wanted to hear. It was really defying of God. And it was having a corrupting influence. And Jude said, we've got to fight that. Because it's the way of punishment. What I've tried to show you in this little study of Cain this morning is not only the mistakes that Cain made, but I've also tried to show you the greatness of the grace of God in this story. And it's really remarkable how gracious the Lord is toward this man who seemed determined to do wrong. That same grace of God is the grace that ultimately brought him to send his son to die on the cross on our behalf. It's the same grace that God extends to you and to me to be forgiven of what we have done. Let's remember this morning to Cain, the right way and a wrong way to deal with sin. Let's quit denying that we're at fault, denying that we're responsible and blaming everybody else. Let's acknowledge that we've done it, that it has consequences. And we want to be forgiven to avoid those consequences. Let's take advantage of God's gracious offer of salvation in Jesus. If there's someone in our assembly this morning who's never become a Christian, why don't you do that today? Confessing your faith in Jesus, being baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're ready to do that, step to the front. Stand together and sing as well.